Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Ta-ta-da-da-ta-ta-ta-da-da-ta Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Krishna has spoken his last words.
Remember, we are on a battlefield.
Both sides, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, are anxiously awaiting to fight to the death. What will Arjuna say?
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome to the final episode of the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
137.
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh my God. 3 years in the making. We are on the final episode of the Modern Yogi Podcast.
This has been a long time coming, you guys.
My name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali, and we are the Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you have made it 137 episodes with us, we are so grateful. Thank you for being with us on this beautiful journey. This is incredible.
It is. Thank you for your encouragement. So grateful for both of you here. And let's get to it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we are on chapter 18, text number 73. Quick recap of everything we talked about last episode.
Text 72 was a very interesting one because it was the first time the roles shifted and Krishna asked Arjuna a question. Mm. He wanted to test him for his comprehension. Like, does this all make sense till now?
His listening comprehension.
I love it.
The teacher in me came out. And basically, Krishna was so willing because he loves us so much that if it didn't make sense, he was going to repeat the whole Gita again, if need
be. Yeah, that's amazing. That's so loving of Krishna. And Yeah, so he basically asked Arjuna, like, have you understood everything? Do you feel free of ignorance and illusion? Mm. Like, you know, is there anything you have to ask me?
I love this. And the last episode, we also talked about how Krishna is doing all of this and saying all of this for Arjuna's benefit and for the benefit of all of us. I know that this book has changed all of our lives. This listening to it has probably changed Arjuna's life as well greatly.
Yeah.
And so one particular verse that was also highlighted in chapter 9 is the essence of this entire book. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage. And I promise you will come to me.
And it's really beautiful. So interesting because Krishna has taken Arjuna to this battlefield that he converts into like this master class where Arjuna is the ultimate student. And Krishna is about to reveal this knowledge which has never been revealed before and it will never be revealed again. The most confidential. And he's going to raise the consciousness of his students to the highest platform.
Yeah. And I think another interesting point about last episode was like this knowledge is so beautiful and so sacred and so mysterious and so confidential that if you explain it to another person, another devotee who is receptive in their heart, Krishna loves that. So please tell people about this podcast, tell people about Krishna. And I think that that is the most beautiful thing that you can do because Krishna says that person is so dear to me.
Yeah, that if you do that, you're guaranteed a place in Krishna's abode to see him face to face.
He's got your back.
Yeah.
He's got your back.
Anything else?
That's it.
Oh my God, ladies, the final invocation for the Modern Yogi Podcast.
Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Jai. Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right. Chapter 18. Text number 73, Priyadarshini.
Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions.
Oh, wow.
Arjuna's like, let's go. Let's go.
So we have just heard Arjuna's final words. And in the previous episode, we heard Krishna's final words. That's a huge deal.
It's crazy. I can't believe this is the last time. This is the end of the conversation. Yeah. At this point, we are done with the conversation and we shift to the observer again, the way we begun.
You know, I think it's interesting to analyze what do Arjuna's last three words in the Gita tell us about the Gita itself, because his last words are essentially, I will do your will. Or if you look at the Sanskrit, it's I shall execute your order. And what do they tell us about Krishna's message? It's that it's both personal and universal, because this is Arjuna's in a way passing the baton to all of us. Now we need to execute. What is Krishna's duty? What is his will for us? What is our duty? What is our nature? So it's personal and universal.
So yeah.
Arjuna is ready. So he, I remember Arjuna at the beginning of this had this deep inner conflict. But I think through this entire process and surrendering onto Krishna and seeing the, you know, see, I think that the big time was like the time where he saw that universal form. I think that shook everybody. And I think that just realizing that Krishna is God and all of these beautiful, important messages, he's finally ready to go.
What I love about this text also is that he says, I am now firm and free from doubt, right? And that part right there is like, what I take from that is that if we're able to really clearly understand and follow Krishna's instruction and become so attached to Krishna and develop this loving relationship, then we are firm. We're not shaken easily. Right. We know where we are. We know who we are. We know what we stand, and we're free from doubt. Those are two things that are really hard for us in this, you know, like in this Kali Yuga, right? Like we feel constantly shaken. We're always doubting our choices or what to do or what the right path or this or that. And Arjuna saying, I heard you. I understand it. I am here. I'm your devotee. I bow down to you. And that means that I feel firm and free from doubt, you know, and that's so powerful. It's like hopeful that if we really follow the instructions, then we can also feel that, you know, that sense of security.
That's inspiration, like inspirational qualities. We need to inspire to being firm in our love and in confidence in Krishna and free from any doubt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to say one super interesting thing about this verse. The fact that it is universal shows when, given that the Gita is spoken on a battlefield, it's so significant that Arjuna doesn't conclude his final words saying, I will fight. He says, I will do your order. I will do your will. So even though he does fight after the Gita ends, Arjuna's last words highlight that he has understood the universality of the Gita's message. It's not just a call to fight. It's really a call to harmonize with the divine, because his last words reflect his enlightened self-understanding that Arjuna doesn't just see himself as a reluctant kshatriya who has the resolve to now do his material duty, but Arjuna really sees himself as an eternal part of the supreme whole of Krishna. So his consciousness is committed to align himself with Krishna's will. It goes way beyond that.
Because if he was like, Krishna, I'm going to fight now and I'm going to kill everybody, you miss the whole point. Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So Krishna's like, okay, I'm following Krishna's instructions. And that is what we should be doing in whatever we do in our life.
Exactly. Yeah, he got the big picture. He understands the purpose behind his actions and how it's a further instruction than just to be a warrior.
Right, right. So he is the perfect student, because I know we've been teachers, and when a student repeats back their understanding, you're like, kind of. Close.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Prabhupada then goes to talk about like how Arjuna is interpreting all this information. So he says, you know, Arjuna has finally understood that Krishna is not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understands that it's Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population. And therefore he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took his weapon, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Increase of population. Can you explain that?
Yeah, we can break that down. So yeah, so he says, so I'll just say the line and then we'll explain it. Mm-hmm. So when Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to fight. So reduce the unnecessary increase of population. We talked a little bit about this off air, and we were talking about a couple of things. One, Krishna comes at a time when there is an overpopulation of irreligiosity.
Yeah.
And
demonic mentality.
And miscreants.
And miscreants. We've read that verse a million times and we know those two words, right? Which means that it's population's heading in a negative direction.
Right.
Right. And so in this case, that unnecessary population would have been Duryodhana's side of the camp, because they're all fighting out of greed, out of all, basically all the demonic qualities that we listed in the Bhagavad Gita, they're unfortunately displaying. And so Arjuna understands what his ulterior purpose, like his, you know,
His real.
Yeah, his
real mission.
Yeah, he understands his mission of what his duty is in that moment and his mission to just develop, like, listen to Krishna, understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he knows the outcome of it all. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anything else on text 73?
I just think it's a nice callback in the purport that Prabhupada's reminding us that we're constitutionally a servant and we're going to either serve Maya, illusory energy, or Krishna. So might as well serve Krishna because that'll be the best option for us, for our own ultimate well-being.
It will give us the ultimate satisfaction, like real happiness, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you can serve Maya and then feel like, oh, I got all these material things and I have all these, I go on all these vacations or whatever it might be, right? Mm. But like, is that ultimately fulfilling you? You know?
Not so much.
Yeah.
This is wild because this is Arjuna's last thing that he says. And then the rest of the Gita, text 74 onwards, is just, is Sanjaya speaking now.
Oh, that's so cool. That's crazy. Wild. So cool. Okay, so text 74, Shama Sangeeta.
All right. Sanjaya said, what? Who? Sanjaya said, thus have I heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end.
Oh my God, us too, Sanjaya.
Yes. Us too. Samesies, Sanjaya. Samesies. But bro is shook. Like bro has goosebumps. Like bro is having a moment.
Remind us, who is Sanjaya for the listeners?
Okay, I got you. Okay. That's what Priya always says. I got you. Okay, remember at the beginning of this book, there was there was a blind king. He was the father of Deodorant, the evil D guy.
Did you just say Deodorant?
I can never say Duryodhana. Yeah, right? We don't like Duryodhana.
Duryodhana.
We don't like Duryodhana.
Oh my gosh, call him Evil D.
Evil D. See, that's why we always call him Evil D because I can't pronounce Duryodhana. I can say it with an Indian accent. Duryodhana.
There you go.
Okay, so Duryodhana's father is Evil D.
Father.
His father is Evil D. And Duryodhana's father, Dhritarashtra, right? He has a special executive assistant named Sanjaya. Sanjaya has this really cool power that he got from his gurus and his teachers that like he can see things without actually being in the place where things are happening.
Yeah, he's like, that's so Raven.
Yes, absolutely. Generations from now will be like, what is that so Raven?
Oh, that's a great point. Oh, wow. She had visions like that too. She could see the future.
So like literally Sanjaya can see something that's happening in real time. He literally has like VR headset glasses and he can see something that's happening miles and miles away, like in real time.
Without the VRs.
Right. Yeah. And so literally the blind king was asking his assistant, hey, what's going on in the battlefield? And then Sanjaya is literally telling him this whole story play by play and like telling him about this beautiful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And now we are going back to that first question where it's like, that's what's so going on? Crazy. And then Sanjaya is like, I heard this conversation of two great souls and I am shook.
Yeah.
Very good summary.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
You did it.
Thank you so much.
I think we should read the purport because it's a short one, at least the beginning part of it.
Sentence by sentence?
Yes. Yeah. One at a time. Okay. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, as Shama Sangeeta said, Dhritarashtra inquired from his secretary, Sanjaya, what happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra?
The entire study was related to the heart of Sanjaya by the grace of his spiritual master, Vyasa.
He thus explained the theme of the battlefield.
The conversation was wonderful because such an important conversation between two great souls has never taken place before and would not take place again.
Oh, wow. Mm. It was wonderful because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking about himself and his energies to the living entity Arjuna, a great devotee of the Lord.
If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful.
Sanjaya realized this, and as he began to understand it, he related the conversation to Dhritarashtra.
Now it is concluded that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is victory.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That last line gave me chills. wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, there is victory.
I like the line where it's like, is this important conversation between two great souls had never taken place before and would never take place again.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Super amazing, actually. Yeah.
I love that. And we get, honestly, we're so lucky to be even privy to this, you know, to have this knowledge of like eavesdropping on someone who's eavesdropping. You know?
Yeah. We're getting the manuscript, the transcript of their conversation in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild. Which is,
I mean, what a fortune.
Wow.
What a fortune. What are the chances that two South Americans and one Canadian.
Canadian.
Did I say that funny?
No, you're perfect.
Okay.
You're
good. And one Indian American are sitting here just discussing this book that was talked about so many thousands of years ago and, you know, getting all the life lessons necessary to move forward in life.
Oof, must be Krishna's arrangement or something like that. Something crazy like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Text 75. Shyamali?
Oh my, yes. By the mercy of Vyasa, I have heard the most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna.
Yeah. So Vyasa, as we said, did we mention Vyasa before? Yeah, briefly.
Yeah.
Vyasa is the spiritual master of Sanjaya. And there's two points that he's trying to make here. One, I think Vyasa gave him the powers, his spiritual master, Sanjaya's spiritual master gave him the powers to be able to see things that were not, you know, in the room that he's in, right? To see things from afar away. So one, he gave him that power. But the second thing that I think Prabhupada is, you know, further explaining from this is that Sanjaya got his knowledge about scripture and like Vedic knowledge from his guru. And therefore when Krishna spoke, he had not only like the humility and openness to understand Krishna's words, right? So because of his spiritual master, he was able to really understand Krishna's teachings.
I was just going to point out his humility. He's like, after he heard everything, he goes, by the mercy of Vyasa. Like he literally is thanking his spiritual master for allowing him to hear this very, very like precious knowledge.
Yeah. This really shows you the weight of what it means to have a spiritual master. They lock you in to this line and give you the key to unlock the understanding in your heart. I mean, even Lord Chaitanya, we've mentioned him before in different purports, who is basically God himself, comes down to this world to give us the perfect example of a devotee. Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya did not begin feeling all of his ecstatic feelings in bhakti until he accepted a spiritual master. Mm. So God himself shows us through that example.
Yeah. Prabhupada said, actually, there is no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna via a bona fide spiritual master like Vyasa.
Mm,
so importance of learning from people that have more knowledge than you.
Yeah. He also, like a brief fun fact is that there's like a disciplic
succession.
That's what I meant to say. Disciplic succession. Where basically you have Krishna. He's like the ultimate guru, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Narada is his direct disciple. Okay.
Yes. Gotcha.
Narada Muni. He goes around saying Narayana, and then he travels.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. And then Vyasa is the disciple of Narada.
Yes.
And then Sanjaya is
his disciple.
Wait, hold on. Therefore, Vyasa is a bona fide as. Oh, yeah. Vyasa is, and then Sanjaya is Vyasa's disciple. So it's like from Krishna directly, the message is being received. Mm. Yeah.
Krishna is connected to the Narada bone. Narada bone is connected to the
Vyasa bone.
Vyasa bone. Vyasa bone is connected to the Sanjaya bone. There we go.
There.
And that's how we learned about Arjuna.
Ah!
That's very good. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, my God.
We're going through these ladies. Oh my God.
I know.
Wait.
Go ahead.
There is one more thing I was just going to say that because Priya just outlined the whole interesting connection. So, right. Arjuna was fortunate enough to hear from Krishna directly, but by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjaya was also able to hear about Krishna directly through this whole disciplic succession, because Prabhupada says there's no difference hearing directly from Krishna and hearing from Krishna from a bona fide spiritual master. And I just thought, a fun fact that it was an aha moment, which I probably should have connected years ago. The spiritual master is the representative of Vyasadev. And therefore, on the birthday of our own spiritual master, the disciples conduct the ceremony Vyasa Puja, like the birthday of a spiritual master. But since they're connected to Vyasadev through the disciplic succession, that's why we call it Vyasa Puja. And I just felt like I should have thought of that sooner, but I read that and I was like,
that's super cool.
Duh.
Yeah. Also, didn't producer Abhijit tell us also that that's also where the word Vyasa-san comes from?
Yeah.
So, the place where the guru sits.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. That's so cool.
Vyasadev.
Also, I just want to commend you, Shyamali, on your pronunciation of the word
Disciplic.
Nice. Very nice.
Very, very nice.
I can never pronounce that.
Say one more time.
Disciplic.
That was on purpose.
I can't say it. It's like you saying you can't say annihilate. I can't say disciplic.
If I say it, I think you can say it.
Go ahead.
Annihilate.
Dislipic.
That's so close.
I just want to say, Shama's going to start weekly little things of learning Sanskrit on our Instagram. And I want to say that now and really put her on the spot to commit to it in a public declaration.
Muchas gracias, amiga. I will try to do Spanish and Sanskrit at the same time.
You know, a new word in Spanish with really the sentiment of how you felt it was enemiga.
And that means an enemy.
Enemy, because you looked at me like,
muchas gracias. Muchas gracias, enemiga.
No, just we're all going to be trying to post little things. So if you like what we're doing and want to stay more in touch with us, you can follow our Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
Yeah, and stay tuned for what's to come.
And that connection is not over, right? So if you have any comments, questions, concerns, because everyone's listening to this podcast at their own pace. Some might be with us on Chapter 18. Some might be... I mean, if you're listening to this, you're probably with us.
That's a good point.
Feel free to text us or DM us with any questions, comments, concerns.
Yeah.
We'll reply back.
Wonderful.
Okay.
All right. Text number 76.
Shyamali?
I guess so. King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. Mm. Wow. I mean, imagine you're witnessing history, scriptural revelation, all these big things unfolding like in present time.
Yeah.
Ooh, can we read this purport actually?
Want to?
Yeah, sure. I do. It's really short.
All right. Can I say one thing before we read it?
Of course.
This relates also to the next text, but you guys think back at all the moments in which we've read something and we're like, oh my God, that's what that meant. Yeah, oh my God, I have goosebumps. Like all of those moments. Sanjaya's like living it firsthand, right?
Wow.
Like he's experiencing all the things we're experiencing.
And he can see it.
And he can see it, which is like even better. So anyway, so that's all I wanted to say. Okay. The understanding of, this is the purport.
Yeah.
The understanding of Bhagavad Gita is so transcendental that anyone who becomes conversant with the topics of Arjuna and Krishna becomes righteous, and he cannot forget such talks.
Oof. This is the transcendental position of spiritual life.
In other words, one who hears the Gita from the right source, directly from Krishna, attains full Krishna consciousness.
The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened, and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment.
Oh, I love that.
That's really sweet. That's so really nice.
Yeah, he's seeing it firsthand. He's like having all of these like aha moments, and he's literally telling his boss, he's like, dude, I know they're on the other team, but this conversation was pretty epic, you know?
Yeah.
Love it.
Text 77.
Priya?
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. O King, as I remember the wonderful forms of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again.
Oh, so Sanjaya is still talking to Dhritarashtra.
Yeah. Can you repeat that one more time?
Yes. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Mm.
So I think at this point, his VR headset is off, and now he's just having a conversation with his boss, but he's thinking about Krishna.
Yeah. Can we read this purport?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. It appears that Sanjaya also, by the grace of Vyasa, could see the universal form Krishna exhibited to Arjuna.
Mm. It is, of course, said that Lord Krishna had never exhibited such a form before.
It was exhibited to Arjuna only, yet some great devotees could also see the universal form of Krishna when it was shown to Arjuna, and Vyasa was one of them.
I will leave it at that. Ooh. Isn't that so fascinating?
Wow. I mean, I think we were all kind of shook when we were absorbing when Krishna was showing his universal form, because we were like, oh my God, if God is everything, then he's also this and he's also this and he's also this. And like, and Krishna's showing this, and I can only imagine what it would be like to be on the battlefield when all of this is happening. But we were shook just even reading all of it. And so I can understand kind of to some degree how shook Sanjaya is.
Oh yeah. No, I like even you reiterating those moments, I'm remembering how we felt in those moments and feeling that zap of energy of like excitement, because it was so incredibly exciting just reading it.
It was such a special moment. I remember like months later, we all got teary-eyed on air remembering what we felt in that moment, living what we thought were Arjuna's emotions.
I feel that right now. And like Sanjaya's just like 2 seconds after the conversation's done, he's like, oh my God, that was amazing. Like, wow.
You know what's an interesting angle to talk about here, which I think deserves to be highlighted? Sanjaya is such a... He's such a great devotee. He's able to relish and feel all of these feelings. He's understanding Krishna. He's able to see Krishna. He's relaying all of this to Dhritarashtra, who, not so much, not such an enlightened devotee. He was blinded, just as he was physically blinded. He was also blinded by his love for his son, which didn't allow him to see the moral path, Krishna's greatness, all those things. So it's interesting when we read the part about, you know, not to relay the information of the Gita to maybe someone who isn't ready. But yet, here is Dhritarashtra being graced by Krishna's mercy, hearing all of this confidential information. So maybe Krishna knew in his heart he was ready, he could handle it, but he wasn't acting. His actions weren't unfolding in a way that showed his righteousness of heart, so to speak, you know?
But maybe it changed after he heard all of this beautiful knowledge.
Oh, probably, right? Absolutely. But I think a commentary on this, it talks about how the Gita demonstrates its own teachings in these final verses. Because really, as we said, the Gita concluded in one sense with, okay, Arjuna telling Krishna, I'm going to carry out your will. Yet there's 5 more verses describing all these realizations of Sanjaya, who's narrating these events to Dhritarashtra. So the question would be, why do we even need then these additional verses? And I think that's because they demonstrate how Sanjaya has applied the Gita's teachings
himself,
and he's being enriched by it. And I think we could maybe talk for a second. I have one here written down. What is one of the ways Sanjaya is applying the teaching? And maybe we can brainstorm aloud a little bit more.
Before you say that, I wanted to say, like, I relate to Sanjaya a lot right now, right?
Because in what sense?
Because we started this book with him telling the story, and we sort of forgot that he was sort of telling the story. We are in his eyes, right?
Like,
we are witnessing what he's witnessing. And now after finishing that, you know, finishing hearing Krishna talk, he's like, oh my God, that was amazing. I'm still thinking about it. I'm still remembering Krishna. And we have all done that at one point or another. Yeah. We are, in a way, like, because we're receiving this knowledge the same way, same-ish way that Sanjaya did, right?
From Krishna. A pure via medium.
Exactly, right? I can relate to his reaction to the knowledge.
Yeah, I love how you said goosebumps. Seeing it through his eyes.
Yeah.
We literally saw the Gita through his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else think it's interesting that Sanjaya is a devotee of Krishna, but he works for the opposite side?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it was like hard in this economy, it's hard to find a job. So he like found a job wherever he could.
We could even say that's Sanjaya's duty. So detached from the results, Sanjaya kept his head down and thought, okay, I have to give my best to the king, but I'm also going to try to relay this transcendental knowledge and hope to sprinkle some Krishna magic in there.
That's like doing your duty,
holy
but
cow.
And offering it to Krishna.
Sanjaya is embodying what we read about.
Yeah, and he has to tell all of this without, I mean, he can't even think about what the outcome will be, because the outcome could be his death.
Yeah.
In that moment. Absolutely. Like, it could be like the king gets mad and then kills him or whatever, right?
It could be
anything. And he's like, I got to do my duty. I got to do it correctly. Yep. I just got to say the bad news that I don't think anyone wants to hear.
Right. Yeah. Because while some of them, like some of the fighters, had a choice with what side to go on, Sanjaya didn't have a choice. He was the secretary of the king. He just, okay. I mean, unless he quit, but he was doing his duty.
The economy was rough, okay? He took the first job that he could find, he took it.
Oh right. My God.
I want to say one more layer of what we're learning about Sanjaya here, because Krishna is speaking the Gita to Arjuna in a successful way, in the sense that it transforms Arjuna's heart. But Sanjaya is speaking the Gita to Dhritarashtra. It's unsuccessful in the sense that it doesn't really transform Dhritarashtra's heart in the same way. Yet, Sanjaya's words reveal that he's composed and grateful, graceful, and he's demonstrating the Gita's teachings that we perform our duty without being attached to the result. So he's still relaying the message. Now, how the king, the blind king receives it, that's on the king.
And Sanjaya cannot control that. He's just doing his duty.
Absolutely. So the message for us would be, just like Sanjaya, if we share the Gita's teachings and message to others, they may not be transformed. We may have planted a seed and we don't know how that seed will grow. But in striving to do our duty to share the Gita as Krishna asks us to do, we will become transformed, you know? We'll become more deeply connected and absorbed in the Gita's message. And then that meditation on trying to apply the Gita will become enriched and it'll become sweeter, our relationship with Krishna.
Oh, Shyamali, I love that. I love that because literally that's all we can do, right? Yeah. It's like we share the Gita and if it touches someone's heart and they take action, amazing. Mm. If it doesn't, that's okay. But we did our job of sharing the Gita.
And it has transformed our lives. I mean, at least I can say that it's been made a huge impact.
Speak for yourself. This is not transforming. No, I'm joking.
How can you transform what's perfect to begin with? I think that's why we all maybe feel this sadness to end, because how special has this journey been that nearing the or on the last episode now, I am really sad to end. And I think we all had to amp ourselves up to when right before starting this final episode, you could feel that in the air, that sadness, that like Priya before airing said, she felt it made us like soft and almost like, oh, but we tried to like, no, this is a celebration. We've made it this far, but it really is a sadness in our hearts also.
Yeah. I'm sad to not hear Arjuna have more realizations.
I think, you know what is great about this particular verse about Sanjaya though, where he's actually talking about how happy he is, right? Which is like such an opposite right now because he's literally like, okay, the VR headset is off. He can no longer see the conversation anymore. You know, Arjuna said the last thing that he was going to say. And then he's closing his eyes and literally being like, I think of Lord Krishna and I become happy and happy and happy. I rejoice again and again and again.
Oh yeah. He's showing us also he's going to savor this meditation forever. It's going to give him the fuel that who knows when he'll get a chance like this again, but he's going to really hold on to this as we all should try to hold on to this.
Oh my God.
Oh
ladies,
my God, guys.
Ladies.
Are we doing it?
Oh, wow.
The final words are going to be spoken.
Oh, Krishna.
All right. Wait, who is reading this?
I think it's Shyamasangeeta.
It is what? C'est moi? Oh my God. The final verse of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
Text 78.
All right. Sanjaya says, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion.
Oh, Krishna. Can you read that one?
Oh my God, I'm getting teary-eyed. Okay. I'll try to read through my glassy eyes. Okay. Sanjaya says, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion.
Yeah.
Jai. Oh my God.
There's not a dry eye in this room.
Oh my God. This is really beautiful because do you remember the very first question that was said that sparked this entire thing was like, Dhritarashtra was like, what is happening on the battlefield? And Dhritarashtra.
That was a great moment to clear my tears.
And then he sucked back in. The blind king was hopeful that his sons will be victorious, right? He was hopeful that the victory would be on the sort of evil side, right? And then after Sanjaya is describing this entire scene, Sanjaya is basically telling the king, like, you're thinking victory is going to be on your side. But in my opinion, that wherever Krishna and Arjuna are, that's where there will be victory.
Yeah. He answered the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know because he's not looking towards the future. He just knows based on everything he learned and everything he heard.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Krishna told Arjuna many times. They're all dead.
They're all dead. And Sanjaya directly confirms that the blind king could not expect victory for his side. Victory was certain for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there.
Should we read the first?
Yeah. I was actually just thinking about that.
The first little chunk of the purport. So nice.
Okay. Purport. This is the last purport we'll read.
Oh my God.
I'm okay. Okay. The Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry of Dhritarashtra's.
He was hopeful of the victory of his sons, assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and Karna.
He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side.
But after describing the scene of the battlefield, Sanjaya told the king, "You are thinking of victory, but my opinion is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all good fortune."
He directly confirmed that
Dhritarashtra
could not expect victory for his side.
Victory was certain for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there.
Krishna's acceptance of the post of charioteer for Arjuna was an exhibition of another opulence.
Krishna is full of all opulences and renunciation is one of them.
The
fight. Oh, Shyamala, you want to read that part?
Yeah, the fight was actually between Duryodhan and Yudhishthira.
Who is Yudhishthira again?
Arjuna's older brother.
Yes. Yes.
The wise one.
Yeah, Arjuna the wise.
Oh yeah, Arjuna was fighting on behalf of his elder brother, Yudhishthira.
Because Krishna and Arjuna were fighting on the side of Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira's victory was certain.
Yeah, the battle was to decide who would rule the world. And Sanjaya predicted that the power would be transferred to Yudhishthira.
It is also predicted here that Yudhishthira, after gaining victory in the battlefield, would flourish more and more because not only was he righteous and pious, but he was also a strict moralist.
He never spoke a lie during his life. Wow. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
That is wild.
Beautiful. I think there's another paragraph. I don't know if we want to keep doing the paragraphs.
Let's do the paragraphs.
But there's one more that starts from the Bhagavad Gita. Should I start that one?
Yeah.
Okay. From the Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation in one process, but to fully surrender unto Krishna is the highest perfection. Wait, can I read that again?
Yeah, I don't know what you said.
From the Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation is one process, but to fully surrender unto Krishna is the highest perfection. Mm. So there, you could do philosophical speculation and you could do meditation, but the best and highest perfection is to surrender to Krishna.
Love it. This is the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita.
Hmm. The path of regulative principles according to the orders of social life and according to the different discourses of religion may be a confidential path of knowledge.
Do we explain that one?
What would you say about that?
The path of regulative principle according to the orders of social life. So basically, if you follow the Vedic principles, all the guidelines that were given according to whatever social life you're in, right? So we talked about like being a grihastha, which is a married couple, or a brahmachari, which is a student, like different. If you follow those, then what?
I think it's highlighting the fact that there's different levels of confidential knowledge. Because like, that's confidential. That's very good. But the next line will clarify.
So. Yes. But although the rituals of religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential. So basically following principles based on what stage of life you're in is confidential. But even more than that is to meditate and cultivate knowledge.
And there's another level. Shama, what's the next line?
And surrender unto Krishna in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is the most confidential instruction.
That is the essence of the 18th chapter.
Wow.
One little paragraph summarizing the whole thing.
That's amazing.
And I mean, above, Prabhupada says something similar about like how the Gita contains so many different instructions and different processes of religion and morality. And all these processes, they're purifying and may lead to the highest. But basically, this last instruction of the Gita is the last word in all morality and religion. And that is just surrender unto Krishna. That is the verdict of the 18th chapter.
Yeah. So there's a couple of other little messages that are here in the summary, mm-hmm. right? In this like last text. And one of them I thought it was interesting was that to the main purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is that to understand that the actual truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, right? And that knowledge is called the Absolute Truth. And to understand the Absolute Truth, we have to understand its three features. So there's impersonal Brahman, which we said was like what?
The energy all around us. When you go in nature, you feel like, wow, that's Krishna's impersonal energy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then there's the localized Paramatma, which is?
The little Krishna that lives inside of our heart.
Yeah. And ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And nice. Once we understand these forms of Krishna, then we have the absolute truth, the absolute knowledge.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, isn't it so sweet?
So fancy.
Oh, no. There's another chunk, which you might want to, somebody else might want to share about the five principles.
Yes. In the Bhagavad Gita, five principal subject matters have been discussed. Y'all ready for this?
Ready.
Yeah. Y'all ready for this?
We're ready for this.
All right. Number one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Duh.
Which is Krishna. Okay. Right? Kind of whole books about him, you know.
We should know him by now.
Yeah, we should know him a little bit. Number two is material nature, which is everything around us.
Everything that's making us suffer.
Yep. Number three, the living entities.
Yeah, us.
Everything that's, with a soul.
That's you.
Everything you. Me and you and you. Mm-hmm. Number four is eternal time.
Wait, can we go back? It's you and me and my friend Steve. That just came into my mind. I'm sorry. We can go on.
Yeah, that's the living entities. You nailed it, Priya. That's good. Number four, eternal time. Right? There's never a time that we never existed. The souls have always been here. Time is eternal.
Sat-chit-ananda.
Sat-chit-ananda. And the last one is all kinds of activities.
All the karma, all the stuff we do.
And every little thing that happens.
Literally. Yeah. So all of these things are covered in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the next part basically says, even though all of these seem to be in different categories, nothing is different from the Supreme. Like it's all connected. It's in the same category, but the Supreme is always different from everything. So that's like Lord Chaitanya's philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference.
Wow. Anything else in the purport from this one?
Oh, I have one more. I have one more too.
Amazing. It might be the same one, so same we can share it. I'll start and then
you... Go ahead.
Okay. It says, the living entity in his original position is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus, Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entities to sunshine.
That's beautiful. Oh, I love that.
Right? How beautiful is that?
That's really so poetic. Sweet.
Yeah.
Wait, can I repeat that? Like, thus,
read it again. Read it again.
Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and the living entities to sunshine. Oof. That's really sweet.
I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one part of the purport. We've always heard that we are parts and parcels of Krishna, but now Prabhupada uses that term as far as if one understands Krishna, then all other departments of knowledge are part and parcel of that understanding. I thought that was a cool way to use that phrase.
Say it one more time.
Yeah, if one understands Krishna, then all the other departments of knowledge are part and parcel of that understanding. You know?
What does that mean?
That means that I think they're comprised within that understanding. Like if we know Krishna, we'll know everything.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah.
We want to read the last few lines, like ping pong it, starting with, in other words...
Yes.
The living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord. And because he belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he has a particle of independence.
By proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna.
Thus, he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. What?
That's how it ends.
And thus ends the Bhaktivedanta. Wait, can you explain that, Shamali?
Yes, I will.
We can do it together if you want.
Okay, so basically, Priya, what does the first line mean?
That's hilarious.
Ends the Bhaktivedanta purport.
So, the living entity is situating between two energies of the Lord. We talked a little bit about this. There are two energies. What are there, Shamali?
The superior energy and the inferior energy. So his whole material creation is part of the inferior energy. But as spirit souls, we're part of his superior energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like, I know this is not I don't love this phrase, but it's a good description. It's like the material world is a, what is that word? I'm just escaping my mouth. It's like a perverted version of the spiritual world, right? Yeah. So like that's what the
yeah.
the energies are, if yeah. that makes a visual for you.
So basically it's saying that if we use our independence correctly, we'll come under the direct order of Krishna. We'll be able to hear Krishna speak to us within our hearts. We'll be able to be pulled and compelled in the direction to follow his order for us with our free will. It's not like we're robots. We choose to, because that's how we feel most happy and most fulfilled. And if we do that, we attain our normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. Now, what does that mean?
I think we're all trying to find happiness. And at the end of the day, happiness, like true happiness comes when we're serving Krishna.
Totally. And also that is, I think that's one point. And then the other point is that our normal condition, like who we are, is the soul.
Yeah.
And where does our soul belong?
With Krishna.
With Krishna. And Krishna is the pleasure giving potency. Like Krishna is the all, like gives us all the joy and everything. So it's like once we figure out how to use our independence well, we can go back to Godhead and then just always be happy and always be joyful.
Yeah. And guys, don't take our word for it, okay?
Yeah.
Try it for yourself. Try this beautiful practice of getting closer to Krishna for yourself.
Yeah, just open the lid of the honey and like take a bite and taste the sweetness.
Yeah.
We've talked about how bhakti is a process of transforming the heart. And I think Sanjaya's concluding words in the Gita are basically talking about, he's demonstrating the transformation of the heart. And that is the Gita's essential purpose.
Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of its conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Wow.
Guys, wait, this is the end.
Oh my God.
I'm filled with so much gratitude. This was such a cool journey. 3 years. I'm very grateful to both of you. I'm very grateful to you, Abhijit, our producer, who produced every single episode, 137 episodes.
Hours and hours of figuring out how to make it sound amazing and how to put it in the internet so that everyone could reach it.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Abhijit, for all of your service. Nobody would be able to hear this around the world if it wasn't for Abhijit. So thank you so much.
And thank you both. I think this is, you know, it really was Krishna's desire for us to do this. Because there's no other way that we were going to come together and like form this amazing thing that we created, which was sharing with each other and learning with each other and with the rest of the world. We're so thankful.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful for both of you because it would just not be the same without you guys.
Oh my God, you're making me cry.
I mean, not to cry.
Priya, I think Krishna in your heart gave you this idea. You took the next step in having the courage to bring us all on board. Abhijit came on board. Ella came on board. Krishna just with his hand whipped it all together into this magical unit that we were able to move forwards. We've talked about before feeling totally blown away after the first episode at how natural it flowed.
Yeah.
And it's been just the greatest honor and privilege to be a part of this beautiful team and this journey. As we've read, we are solidifying our relationship with Krishna because of this endeavor that we're doing.
Yeah. And remember, we don't get paid for this. I think the only reason that we do this is because I think all of us love Krishna and we've seen that love that he's given us in all of our lives. And we hope that it touches your heart. And if it does, please share this podcast. Please share this knowledge that Krishna is imparting to Arjuna because it's so important. Like these gems of wisdom are life-changing. They've changed all of our lives. And that's why we do this and we're trying to share it. So if this has touched your life, please, 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 as Krishna says in chapter 18, like share this knowledge with people who are ready to receive it.
Oh. Yeah. I really, really want to thank all the listeners too, because, you know, one, the messages you've sent us have put tears in our eyes.
Literally.
Like we're so grateful to hear how you've connected with Krishna. Like we've spent hours looking at them and talking about them. And we're just so grateful that you've like connected with us and found, you know, this to be helpful in your path. And also for keeping us accountable.
Yeah.
Because just there were some people that were like, so when's the next episode? And you know, we were always very engaged and very happy to continue the service, but knowing that others were also counting on us made us really, really put all our best energy into it. Something that is so fulfilling to us, but to know that it's also fulfilling to others.
Yeah.
It definitely carried a lot of meaning for all of us to be doing this service. And so thank you guys, because you kept us inspired with your messages, with your words, and you kept us accountable with your messages. And, you know, we just, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. And also, I want to beg for forgiveness for any offenses, especially me. Shyamalee and Priya, not so much, but, you know, I'm not the most politically correct person. No. That's why this is a book club. And
we love you.
Yeah. Please, forgive me for any offenses or anything that I said that was not politically correct. Thank you so much.
Can we say, Vanchakalpa, Tarubhyascha, Kripasindubhya, Evacha, Patitanam, Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha. Thank you all.
What does that mean?
It's paying respect to all the Vaishnavas.
Yeah, everyone who has walked this path with us and who will continue to do so.
Jai. Any key moments of growth that you learned from the Bhagavad Gita?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's hard to condense 3 years, you know, into one moment. Like, yeah. I just had a whole flash of so many moments. There's been so many. There's been moments where it didn't make sense and we had a light bulb moment on air. Mm. There's been moments that brought us to tears, moments that felt so exciting, as Priya remembered, feeling Arjuna's emotion. I think this project has shown us that when we sit with something long enough, it will reach our hearts if it's transcendental and if it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I learned the most just by reading this Gita with you ladies, and Abhijit and Ella, is that Krishna is a person.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we go to the temple and we see a statue or a deity and we forget that there's like God inside, right? And but I feel like this podcast has solidified so much that Krishna is a person and we can build a relationship with this person. And that relationship can be so sweet and so beautiful. And I think if I remember nothing else, it's like, I just remember that I want to build that relationship with this beautiful person.
I love that.
That's
point. Really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a person. That's a great point. He is the most beautiful person that if we had even the opportunity to get a glimpse of him, our form in this human form couldn't even handle it. It's just surreal to remember that. Like, no, he's totally there. Like, we can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, I think definitely there's so many beautiful moments. But I think for me, the first thing that came to mind when you asked that question was these moments in which we took hours of our day to read the Bhagavad Gita and discuss it and question and process all the information have been so meaningful to me. And I think association, but spiritual association is so important. And although sometimes I do service with others and that's also lovely, I think reading the books with others, with friends and learning from each other what, you know, the love that's in your heart and hearing it from your words and thinking, oh, wow, I want to love Krishna that way too. Like that process of having spiritual association, spiritual friendships, like it is so important to me. Like I need a book club for the rest of my life. You know, I think it's like, it's just made a great impact in my life to dissect this with my peers. Or seniors. Yeah, you've made an incredible impact. And the other thing I learned really is that if you read, no matter how much you read, just getting a little glimpse of Krishna, it changes your mindset.
Yeah.
It transforms how you perceive things. It really does. And because we're in this material world, I forget very quickly. So the more we continue that process of constantly reminding ourselves of the messages, the more we read, the more we hold on to the mode of goodness and to these the qualities that we need to get closer to Krishna. So it really, like, it's like a reminder that, like, always think of Krishna, you know?
And so well said, yeah. Priya. So well said. If we're ever not feeling it, grab the Gita. This is Krishna and this is Krishna's words and they're non-different. And that'll bring him more up present in our hearts.
Grab the Gita. And you know, there's always this thing that happens. It's like you ever have a question about anything in your life, you open the Gita, like a random page. And for some reason, it always has the answer to your question. So just do that. If you're not doing anything else, just open it randomly.
It'd be cool to just open it randomly.
Just randomly.
Should we just open it?
Do it, Shyamalee.
All right. Go for it. Open it randomly.
Okay.
What verse is it?
The Yoga of the Supreme Person, text 1.
What does it say?
Oh, this is the imperishable banyan tree analogy. Oh, God.
Let's not get into that.
Can I do it again?
Yeah, do it again.
Let me do it again.
Sometimes you have to try
awkward.
Again.
Awkward. This is the best one.
Okay, go. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage.
grudge unto me.
Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend.
Oh, I love it.
That was the best one.
What a great random verse to put up.
What a great place to end. Mm-hmm. Because the essence of the Bhagavad Gita is always remember Krishna, never forget him. So,
Jai. And we are
the Modern Yogi Podcast. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.